is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what's up, man?
Just diddling, dog.
Just diddling dogs. I like it, man. What's going on with you lately, man?
It sounds like an intervention. What's going on with you lately, man?
Talk to me, man. What's what's troubling you?
Nothing, dude. Started my new job this week. It's been good. Been not relaxing, but my boss is real cool, so that's been nice. And then I got like a shit ton of stuff that was all pre-order stuff. I already paid for it, you know. It just all came in at the same time. It's really nuts.
That's exciting stuff, man. Did it all charge you at the same time, or was it stuff that you already paid for?
A lot of it I had already paid for. A couple things. I did randomly. Normally, I know we save this for the end, but I'll just tell you now. I walked into Target randomly on Tuesday, and they had like the Universal Monsters, X Ninja Turtles, Leo, April. Ooh. They had a Piccolo from Figure Arts, which I probably shouldn't have bought, but I like Piccolo.
It's cool.
And then I got these Men in Black figures from PC Toys. They're just kind of a third-party brand.
And, is it like Will Smith likeness? I think we've talked about this already.
Yeah, yeah. It's from Men in Black 3, but it's Tommy Lee Jones, not Josh Brolin, luckily.
I've never seen that movie. It's weird.
It's not too bad. It's ridiculous. The plot's ridiculous. But and then I got Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
To go with my Mr. T. I also got a Mafex at the Dark Knight Returns Superman. Thick boy Superman.
Favorite. Well, so, one of them. I like that Superman a lot.
Big, should have come with
chunky Superman.
Yeah, he should have come with the bald eagle, man.
Yeah. What a ridiculous scene.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's it.
Very Superman, though.
It was a bunch of shit that all came at the same time. Let me tell you.
All right, let's talk about. I don't even know what the segue would be. So this past couple episodes, we've been just doing some highlights. We didn't go on a ton, like. I didn't want to capture everything that happened in the news cycle. Just wanted to go over a few things that caught my eye. So, as usual, we'll start with DC because they don't have a ton of news. It's crickets over there. I heard they were getting sued because they inflated the HBO Max numbers. So, that's interesting. Hmm. They just can't win over there. Yeah, they boosted it to like 10. I don't know. I stopped reading once it said Warner Brothers Discovery. I just clicked off. I just like, nah, don't care. Don't care about any of that news. But I did care about this. Warner Bros. Has reassured the Blue Beetle director, Angel Manuel Soto, that the movie would not be canceled following the studio's Batgirl decision. Now, it's going to suck if they go back and they say, actually, it's canceled.
Yeah, we got to make some money back.
Yeah, sorry, man. Also, Static Shock comic writer and artist Nicholas Draper Ivy has indicated that DC is going to go forward with the live-action Static movie. So that's good news on both fronts because these are the only two properties that I actually really cared about.
It should be easy to do that movie. You just rub your socks on carpet, right?
Yeah.
Hey!
Static. Are you excited about these movies? Do you care about Warner Bros. Movies at all?
If I was going to watch Warner Bros. Movies, I would like to watch those two, yes.
Yeah.
I really like Blue Beetle, so... He's one of those I don't read about, but I've liked everything I've seen in Injustice. I mean, not Injustice. Young Justice. Or yeah, anything like that. Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, he was a big part of Brave and the Bold.
Yeah. So I like him in that. Static Shock's great. Especially the comic.
The comic's good. I really like the actor that's playing Blue Beetle too, Zolo Mardueña. He plays character, one of the main characters on Cobra Kai. I don't know if you watch that show at all.
Mm-mm.
I know it's hard to watch. It's corny, but man, I freaking love it.
I have my love for Karate Kid in the 80s, dog.
It continues the same vibe. It's perfect. He's at the dojo in the sky, man. The guy passed away a long time ago.
I know that.
So you want them to do like a Fat Morita? You want them to do like a Force Ghost situation where he's
yes,
all the new people. Yikes! The other day, Ryan Reynolds put out a video where he was talking about Deadpool 3, and in the background, Hugh Jackman walks by. And I originally thought, like, oh, that's just a funny thing. There's going to be no merit to that. That's just them doing their snarky commercial stuff that they do with each other. Mm. And at the end of the video, he says, hey, Hugh, do you want to come back and play Wolverine in Deadpool 3? And he says, yeah, sure. Very funny. I was like, oh, that's a funny video. That's not obviously not real, though, right?
Right.
They're not going to do it. But apparently at this point, they haven't. They said they are doing it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because, I mean, man. I think it's, I mean, whatever, it's cool. But, like, Hugh Jackman is getting old. He's like, what is he, like 65 now? He's going to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Probably. He just started working out for it today. So I'm interested, man. I really didn't think that Hugh Jackman would come back at all. He said that it was too hard on his body to transform into Wolverine, all the working out and stuff.
Well, he doesn't need to be that cut up, so.
Yeah, he could just wear a shirt.
Yeah.
He didn't have to take his shirt off this time. I don't know, man. You know me. I'm a huge Wolverine fan. I love all the movies. I love all the X-Men movies. So, yeah. I'm excited. I don't hate Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Even though those movies are, most of those movies are, 99% of those movies are terrible. I don't hate Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and I think it's going to be great watching them go up against each other. Do you have any theories on what this movie is even going to be about?
No. And, you know, with Deadpool, I do wonder, I was thinking about this, like, okay, they're going to do the third movie, it's going to have Hugh Jackman. What if this is the moment that they just like, okay, we're done with Deadpool. Like, this is his last movie ever.
Yeah. They could do that. I don't see, you know, I know a lot of people would be like, no, we need him in 99 MCU projects. I would be fine with it just being like their last ride. Knowing Ryan Reynolds, it's going to be like a, I don't know, Thelma and Louise movie where they're on a road trip together and then they die at the end.
Well, they can't. I mean, they did kind of explain like the timeline thing, right? I don't know.
Kind of.
About like
they with this, Logan. They did this funny video because instantly a lot of people were like, you know, those super serious nerds that are online are like, they'll do anything for money. Logan was the perfect send-off for Wolverine, and they'll bring him back for money. It's just like, shut up, man. Who cares?
Well, the thing about Logan is like there are comic books in Logan, right? And he's wearing the yellow costume and shit in those comic books. So it makes sense for there to be some point in his life when he did that.
Yeah.
But
so do you think they'll put on the yellow costume?
I hope so, but I know it's going to look weird.
Yeah.
I think if they do the ears, if they don't overdo the ears, like make it kind of small, I think it'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. I would be okay with it just being like he tries it on and it's like, yeah, no way.
Well, he did that in like the first X-Men.
Did he?
Kind of. Well, he's like, he's like, you actually wear these things? He's like, what would you prefer, yellow spandex? You know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I want to see him try it on and just look super goofy.
Well, like you said in your tweet, like with that thing from, what was it, The Wolverine?
The Wolverine, yeah, the second one.
Yeah, that was a cool costume. They could have used that shit.
Yeah, we'll see what it looks like. I hope. I'm excited. Whatever, man. I'm with you, though. I wouldn't be upset if that was just it, if you know, but they also started teasing, and I don't know, this could just be people talking about Hugh Jackman also being in Secret War and stuff like that.
God, he'd be so old.
I mean, I don't think he's that old.
He's in his 50s at least.
He can't be that much older than Ryan Reynolds is getting old.
Yeah, I know. I know that.
They have to do this forever, man, for us. Yeah.
They're going to clone him.
That'd be cool.
Well, I don't know. What were you going to say? Oh, yeah. With somebody, yeah, he's 53. Somebody said, they were talking about how the X-Men can't be new characters. Like, they can't recast him because of something with that contract.
There was some clause until 2025. Yeah. Somebody, yeah, I also saw that that wasn't necessarily true. People just making up stuff, man. You can't trust anybody on the internet. Don't even listen to us if you're listening to the show. We don't know what we're talking about.
Hugh Jackman's wife is 66.
Yikes.
Her name is Deborah Lou Furness.
Deborah, that's a 66-year-old lady name.
Her last name is Furness.
Hot.
She's a fire crotch.
That's hot. Sounds like a fake name. They don't want you to know what her real name is, so you can't look her up. Marvel Studios Blade director Sam Tariq has officially exited the project, and Marshall Ali is not excited. He's kind of frustrated with the progress on this movie. They also say that Kevin Feige is, you know, wearing himself a little too thin. He's got too much going on, which, duh. But he's also super rich, so no one really cares. Just stop, man.
Where did they get that information about, like, Mahershala Ali being upset, though?
They asked him. They said, hey, man, how are you feeling? He said, I'm upset.
Yeah, I don't like it. No, sir.
There's a rumor going around that Harrison Ford is Marvel's top choice to play General Thaddeus Ross in Thunderbolts. Mm. What do you think about that?
Yeah, cool.
Because William Hurt passed away.
Yeah.
I think is weird. But that's cool. Yeah, Harrison Ford's great. Talking about old, he's like 115. So he's got to be the oldest guy in the MCU.
He's still trying to make money, though, man.
Yeah, he's got those child support checks. You know, he's got like 17 kids.
Does he?
I'm just kidding. I have no idea. Again, if you listen to this podcast, we have no idea what we're talking about. You're just here for the fun. The fun facts.
The fun facts.
One thing that I think is interesting, though, and I think would be weird, and I can see somebody making this argument, is that they are not even considering just leaving Thaddeus Ross off the board. They're going to recast him instantly, but with the Chadwick Boseman thing, they're like, we're absolutely not recasting him.
There's something, yeah, that is a weird thing.
But I can just see the people that really care and they make these, you know, 17 videos a week about the MCU, I can see them using that as a point. And I hate to even give them that idea. They're like, oh, hell yeah. Once they pull us, they're brothers in arms.
Thanks, brother.
We'll see what happens. That's just a rumor. Something that's not a rumor, I guess I don't know if they confirmed it or not, but Armor Wars with Don Cheadle, not Terrence Howard, is going to be a movie instead of a series.
Yeah, crazy.
Which makes sense, because how are they going to afford to put all those? Can you imagine the CGI of all those Iron Man's armors? It would be so bad.
Be like reboot.
they would just CGI Don Cheadle's head, because it would make more sense for him to just be completely CGI than to put a human head on that CGI body. We'll just CGI the entire show.
It's all stop motion. I would actually love to see that.
I was going to say I would watch that. I don't know why they're so adverse to making it like an animated show. You know,
I thought about this recently. I was driving to work and I was like, why don't they have, you know, more just straight up animated shit in the MCU? But it's because it's got to be this cohesive thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, yeah. You look at What If, right? And then you look at Multiverse of Madness and like Captain Carter's there animated into real life.
Yeah, they could easily just make it. All right, what do we know, man?
I don't know. But you know,
do you think Robert? Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, you know who's not gonna be in Armor Wars? Harrison Ford, because He's racist.
Because Don Cheadle's the main character. Yeah. Unless he gets to shoot him in the head or something. I think they made the switch to make it a movie because Don Cheadle was doing interviews and he was like, they said, hey, you know, how long are you going to be War Machine in the MCU? And he's like, well, I'm, you know, done with my contractual obligations. So if there's something that I want to do, I just, you know, I sign up for it. And they're like, nah, we don't like that. We don't like that. Let's make it a movie. Pay him X amount of money and get him in a nine movie, two show contract.
Yeah. He's like, boop, 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 boop. Hey, we need to take care of this fella.
Yeah. If not, let's get Terrence Howard on the phone.
He's like, hey, man. Yeah, sure. I don't know. That's okay. I do not like Terrence Howard.
Oh, and it's because, like Terrence Howard.
It's because of Hustle and Flow. That's why I don't like that. I don't like him. Because
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't like that movie, by the way. I don't like that movie. I was saying I don't like him. I want everybody to understand that I wasn't gonna slip into an epithet. But
Simon hates Terrence Howard.
Yeah, no, it's just the acting is really bad in Hustle and Flow. Like his acting is so bad that it ruined everything else that he could possibly be in. I do like Crash though. He's good in that movie.
Oh, yeah, he was in Crash. I think he's a good actor. We're not going to go on a Terrence Howard appreciation tour, but yeah, that's all I really got for the news. That's what piqued my interest this past week.
Yeah.
That's it. See you guys next time.
Yeah, bye.
No. Like last week, we're going to talk about She-Hulk, but we're going to do it over on Patreon. So if you want to hear that, go throw $3 at us.
Yeah, you got to pay for it.
We'll dance our little dance, and that's different. That's OnlyFans. Go to Patreon, give us $3, and you can hear our opinion. I really appreciate you guys, everyone that is a patron. Even my nephew signed up last week, and I was like, man, you shouldn't have did that. Like, you should keep your money. Don't don't give it to me.
No, man, it's fine. You shut up.
Yeah, give us more money. We're going to take a second. And take a break. We're going to record the She-Hulk review, and then we'll be right back to talk about what book we're reading today.
Okay, everybody, it's Michael E. Cullen II.
And I'm Sesame Incarta from the All Too Real 2 podcast. We're passionate about movies, TV, and pretty much all things pop culture.
Dive into the chaos of failed sitcoms, direct-to-video sequels, and the quirky realms of cinema and TV.
Join us every Thursday for your dose of All Too Real 2 entertainment.
We'll guide you through debates like whether Howard the Duck qualifies as a superhero.
Ponder if Larry the Cable Guy could be the new Rock or Schwarzenegger.
Discover if some shows and movies should have stayed in the cutting room.
Ever heard of a sitcom featuring that dictator with the funny mustache? Well, we watched it.
We're dedicated to unraveling the peculiarities of pop culture, sometimes with awesome guests.
So, if you're into the eccentric world of pop culture,
listen and subscribe to All Too Real 2.
Available wherever you find podcasts
and on Age of Radio.
Welcome back, guys, and thank you for taking a second to let us do some other stuff. This is the section of the podcast where we review a trade, and some people call it a trade review. This week, Simon hit me up early and it threw me off, man. I usually don't decide what we're going to read until like the day we're reading. Simon was ahead of the game. He's extra prepared. He's focused, fully focused on this review this week. And so he asked me, I was like, shit, I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea what we're reading. And so a quick Google search on like, I have a note on my phone of things that I think that Simon and I would possibly be interested in. So I just pulled from that. And this week we're reading Ben Reilly, Spider-Man. It was a book that came out this year. And I really liked it because not the entire thing. It's not like the review's over. I really liked it. That's it. I read the first issue, and it's like usual. I'm like, oh, Simon and I could eventually read this, so I didn't finish the series. But I liked that first issue because it's set in the 90s timeline, but sort of out of continuity enough to where it could just be a standalone story, which is sort of our bread and butter here. And also, Simon and I both like Ben Reilly. We both like Spider-Man, and I don't think that Simon has really read any Ben Reilly stories, you know, since back in the day. It's one of those characters that you just kind of like the look of him because you look like him.
I was going to mention that when I was looking at him. I was like, hey, I kind of look like that with longer hair.
Yeah.
The shitty beard and everything.
What did you think when I, because you didn't even respond when I said it to you. You were just like,
I get so busy. I'll see a text and I'm like, cool. And then I don't respond. I've gotten really bad about that. And I hate that. I hate when people do that to me. So sorry.
Don't apologize to me, man. I wouldn't have read it if you would have responded. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah. We would just be playing doing the same thing to each other.
Yeah, We're playing chess. Our conversation's like chess.
4D chess. Yeah, I was excited because, like you said, I like Ben Reilly. I like Scarlet Spider Ben Reilly a lot, but I do think that the Clone Saga is kind of like bonkers. So yeah. I was curious about where this fit in. If this was like, because Ben Reilly's back, right? So I didn't know if this was in the main continuity or what. But yeah, I was super excited. I like Ben Reilly. Costumes. Awesome. So
yeah, it's my favorite Spider-Man suit of all time.
I like these covers a lot. So yeah, at least this one.
I'm with. Take it away with issue number one, Simon.
Because you're demanding it. Iconic Spider-Man scribe J.M. DeMatteis returns to spin his webs once more with Spidey's mythos. This time, joined by the explosive artist David Baldion, together they're I'm bringing you unlocked memories in the life of Ben Reilly, a.k.a. Spider-Man. Darkness looms over New York City as murders begin to pile up. But how are they all connected? Do the answers Ben is looking for reside in the haunted halls of Ravencroft Institute? Find out as we return to the era when Ben Reilly was the one true Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
All right, so as you know, we don't go panel by panel anymore, so I just want to know, Simon, what you thought of issue number one?
Well, it was interesting to kind of catch up. You know, they do a little bit of a recap of the character, and that's when I was like, okay, like you said, this is Clone Saga continuity. This is not new Ben Reilly. It was interesting because everything about it kind of screamed like 2000s to me. The art style, the story, some of the writing, you know, like the writing is very old school as far as creature of the week, kind of like cheesiness.
Yeah, I agree.
But not necessarily in a bad way.
Yeah, if it's a 90s story, I mean,
yeah,
it kind of fits the writing style.
I will say that Ben Reilly is very moody. He's like very emo.
Yeah, I agree. I don't remember him being like that. I remember him being sort of Peter Parker-esque. Even in the modern run where he comes back, he's still witty. And this, he's like crazy broody, more like a Kane from what I remember Kane was like.
He's like Batman.
Yeah, he's emo. One thing that I will say, one of my favorite things about this issue was the first page. Ben Reilly is walking through New York. So, you know, he's doing his emo exposition. Mm-hmm. And J. Jonah Jameson walks past him and he's like screaming at him as if he was Peter Parker. And the reason why it's one of my favorite moments is because no one ever acknowledges that he looks exactly like Peter Parker. Like they have the exact same face.
Mm-hmm.
So someone, that's an easy thing where someone's like, and J. Jonah Jameson even says, I've known you since you were, you know, 15 years old. Yeah, I'm going to spot you on the street.
Right.
And he's like, I'm not Parker.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, man, geez, chill the fuck out. You look exactly like him. I'm sorry.
You know, it's so in this recap, this is Kane, this big guy with the beard.
Yeah, that was a cover, or that was the... Those two images were from Spider-Man, The Lost Years. It was a book it was illustrated by John Romita Jr. in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he had a style of making people bigger and blockier. And this person just translated it pretty much exact proportions, but like with his style.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. It's like, because, you know, everything I've seen, he's like the same size as Peter Parker. So
he looks exactly like them, except he has like a gross face.
Yeah, gross face. Yeah, man. I don't know.
Like, what didn't you like about this first issue?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, as much as I enjoy the kind of cheesy 90s thing,
yeah,
I don't know what I was expecting. I think Peter Parker is enticing to me as a character and Spider-Man because he's quippy and he's fun.
Yeah, same.
This Ben Reilly is so broody that I'm like, you know, I don't really like this Spider-Man that much. I don't know.
I don't like this version of Ben Reilly, and I was the same way. I was like, I don't know. Be a little lighthearted. At least, like, if your interior monologue is, like, broody and sad and emo, at least on the outside be, you know, funny and witty. Like, that's sort of Peter Parker's thing. And yeah, whether like you're, whether you're Ben Reilly or not, you're still Peter Parker, you know?
Yeah, you got to be like a comedian, you know, depressed on the inside, but funny on the outside.
Exactly. Kind of like our show.
Exactly. But other than that, I don't know. I mean, it was a cool intro to it again, but to not have read any of that in such a long time, it was like, oh, shit, okay. This is where we're at now. All right. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It took a second to remember the timeline back then. The art's good. The coloring is like, you could tell it was all pretty much all digitally done. Mm-hmm. It's really heavy on like the gradients and things like that. So that's kind of not really my cup of tea, but
I personally like the noise, like the grit and stuff that they add in, but I can see why that, you know, why that might throw you off.
Yeah. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not all digitally done. It looks like,
yeah, it looks digital.
From my expert eye, it looks like it was 100% digitally done. But I'm with you, man. Everything about this Ben Reilly is not, you know, I liked Ben Reilly because he had a little bit of this exposition of like depressed that he thought he was Spider-Man the whole time. Of course he does. And he went to be his own person, but I don't remember him ever being like, this reminds me of the Arrow, the CW Arrow as
it's funny. Spider-Man. I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. I was going to say that earlier.
Yeah. It's like the CW Ben Reilly Spider-Man show. This is what he would act like.
We got to bring him to ground. They said that way too much in the Arrow. It was like every other sentence, bring him to ground.
Yeah. I love that show.
Ugh.
All right. That's, you know, issue number two, Ben Reilly Spider-Man. Issue number two, Scorpion Stings. Ben Reilly comes to blow with the sinister Scorpion as Spider-Man begins to face down a gauntlet of his most fearsome foes. But is it all as it seems? I feel like I immediately thought that it was like a dream situation because he killed a Scorpion and then Scorpion, this giant Scorpion showed up in his...
He brought it just for that. He just threw it in his bed just to mess with him.
He's just like, you know, even the psychiatrist makes a reference. It's like, your spider sense didn't go off.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So knowing what we know about the end of this story, you know, it probably wasn't a real Scorpion. I didn't care for this design of the Scorpion, like his costume with his mouth like that.
Yeah. Like the mask is going over his lip into his mouth.
Yeah. I kind of like the cartoon version where he has his little mouth hole.
Yeah. Mouth hole is always a good choice, man.
Yeah. Spider-Man's stupid. I thought it was really cool when they're fighting and everything, when he uses his tail as a spring, I was like, oh dude, that's makes a lot of sense. Why haven't we seen that before?
Yeah, that is really cool.
But I think
I like how big he is, but I'm with you. I don't like his mask.
Yeah. I think Scorpion's a pretty cool villain, even though they portray him as like an idiot in the cartoon, like
Matt Gargan. He's a dumbass.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed it.
It's the same stuff. the same stuff. Weird, emo, Spider-Man, kind of aggro, kind of a jerk. Not the Ben Reilly I remember.
Yeah, especially with Vermin. But, you know, this is why I thought Batman, about his moodiness and everything, because he keeps going back to Ravencroft trying to figure out, like, who done it. It's like, yeah, oh, it's got to like be Arkham. This guy. Yeah, it's got to be this guy. It's got to be this guy.
That was a great splash page on page 11, though, wherever he gets hit with that car. Damn. That's probably my favorite moment of this issue. It just looks great.
Yeah,
it's like a pure Spider-Man moment. Like, that's what Spider-Man does. He'll get himself destroyed before he doesn't save somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's that whole, I mean, there are cheesy moments like where Scorpion's like, why do you do it? Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, very 90s. You know, but then we see that Scorpion was in Ravencroft the entire time. We also see Chameleon, which I think is a great villain. Never used enough. They're all there. So obviously Ben Reilly's going crazy. At this point when I was reading it, I couldn't tell if it was just like, because he's a clone, his mind's fractured. But then I also got a thing about, like, at this point in the storyline, he thinks that he's the real Peter Parker.
Yeah.
We don't know that he's the actual clone yet. So, I don't know, man. I don't like broody Ben Reilly. The art's still consistent for me. Yeah.
The, like, weird monsters thing is kind of neat. But it's also kind of a weird secondary story to this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The first date murderer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's weird. Do they ever resolve that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know the character that is, but, like, why was that going on first dates with people?
They explain it, and it's the same reason, like, why he talks to Peter Parker. He was trying to figure out the...
I got you. Yeah, that sucks. I don't like that. At the end, we get Lady Octopus. That's cool. Another 90s character that's great.
Yeah, this other guy is pretty strange. You can tell he's like a alien, the way he talks.
The guy that, the regular at the at the diner, Edward? Yeah. Or no, Edward's the Vermin dude.
I think it's like John or something.
Yeah. John. I thought that he was creating, I thought it was a situation where he was manifesting these fake villains.
Mm.
Because when they're at the diner, he just sort of like spaces out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Lady Octopus shows up. So I was like, okay, was this guy like a weird character that can just create like fake versions of villains?
Well, you know, yes. And that's kind of. And I didn't really think about it. That's why he spaced out. It's because he's like in two places at once.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Well, kind of, not really. Yeah, it was cool to see Lady Octopus. I know almost nothing about that character, but.
Yeah, me either. In this context, really, like, I'd have to really sit down and think about those old 90s stories.
She's like, I love the sea.
It's not like. It's not like Into the Spider-Verse Dr. Octopus, where it's, she's actual, like, a variation of Doc Ock. This is a completely different character.
Yeah. Her claws are cool, though. Her little...
I like it. Yeah. And you said that it was Monster of the Week. I kind of like that it's Monster of the Week at this point.
I do always like a gauntlet for Spider-Man. Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. It's cool. It's really cool because it's like Ben Reilly, we don't... Can't remember much of that character, and like you said, can't really remember a lot of it. Now, her, Scorpion, obviously, we know about, but it's just kind of interesting.
Also, like, well, this is the next issue, but we get, like, a dead version of her character, and I was like, what? Now I have to think about what happened back then. I was like, is this way after the last hunt?
Yeah.
Is he dead? I just had to think about it for a second. Take it away, Ben Reilly, Spider-Man, issue number 3.
All right. Ben Reilly, Spider-Man, issue number 3. Ensnared by Dr. Octopus. Jealousy strikes as Carolyn Traynor takes her anger out on Spider-Man. But who's really behind this cavalcade of villains? And is Ben ready to face the truth? find out is J.M. DeMatteis and David Baldiand. It's all caps. Bring the action and the heart you know and love in a Spidey story.
I don't know, man.
Well,
what do you think about, what are your favorite things about this issue before I don't want to crap on it?
Well, one thing that's I find kind of funny is like, man, Ben Reilly is just going through masks. Like, they're just ripping these things up.
Yeah.
It's got two where his hair's poking out. It's certainly interesting, but, you know, I can't. I don't like the broodiness. But it was pretty cool when we saw that character you're talking about. And he just like, I don't know, it's like a zombie. It was weird.
Yeah, yeah. There's a dead villain from Spider-Man's past that just pops up. And I mean, that could be cool. It's like a gasp moment. But then it also, it doesn't really have a payoff because it's not real. But yeah. I love the action scenes. Like the fighting scenes between Spider-Man and these characters are great.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Reilly is suffering from the same thing that Tom Holland suffered through in all of his movies. He doesn't wear his mask. He gets unmasked in every issue numerous times. Like, there's almost no point in you wearing a mask.
Yeah. Just wear a domino mask, man.
Yeah. Just wear, no one cares. You kind of look like Peter Parker. It'll be better later on because they'll always think you were some blonde dude. So whenever Peter Parker goes back to being Spider-Man, he's safe.
One thing I've always thought was scary, and they mention it, Peter Parker mentions it, but he talks about like his lenses breaking and almost blinding him. And that happens a lot in this too. Like,
yeah,
Ben Reilly's lenses are cracking on his mask. Yeah, this illustration really cool. style just reminds me of the early run of the new Venom books when it was like just the symbiote, you know, kind of that joke. It's like JNCO Jeans style.
Yeah. Like the blob version of it.
Yeah, there was a Human Torch run that was a lot like this too. A little looser, but.
So we get the big reveal that, and this is a spoiler, the main villain is a character from the 90s. His name is Spider-Side.
Yeah.
He looks very 90s.
Terrible.
Extremely 90s.
He looks like Cell. Like the.
Yeah.
The second form or whatever. The no-nose thing always throws me off. The no-nose and big teeth.
Yeah, he looks like Venom. If Venom was trying to be more Spider-Man-like.
If Venom was trying to be a luchador. That is a super weird reveal, though. Like, and he seems to have no limits for something that I've never heard of before.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems like an extremely powerful character that hasn't been around since the 90s. Great use for these guys that are making a book in 2022. Great use of a ultra powerful character from the 90s.
Yeah. Yes.
But I will say,
it's weird.
We're in issue, was that issue 3?
Yes.
I'm still not a fan of the Arrow Spider-Man. Like, design-wise, he looks good. The action scenes look good, but the broodiness is just like, too much. He's not even making quips whenever he's fighting.
Yeah. He's just an angry guy.
Yeah. No thanks, man. Where's Peter Parker? No wonder people hated you, Ben Reilly. Am I remembering it differently? Because I remember him still doing the quips. I remember in the Marvel vs. DC book, whenever Spider-Man was fighting against Superboy, it was Ben Reilly, and he was still cracking jokes.
Yeah.
Like, the story of them switching wasn't, it was so that Peter Parker could be with Mary Jane, have a kid, and live his life. And then we could still have a template Spider-Man that would always just be Spider-Man. Like, Peter Parker could go and grow and not suffer from, like, you know, the Nightwing thing where he always has to be Nightwing or whatever. And then we would still have Spider-Man. But people obviously didn't like Ben Reilly or whatever, and Peter Parker came back. I feel like they could have continued to just have Ben Reilly be Spider-Man forever. But not if he's super broody and
gross. Not like this. Yeah, but we're Ben Reilly, Spider-Man. Understanding people. Oh,
yeah, that's true. It's the writing, man. The writing's terrible. Ben Reilly, Spider-Man, issue number 4, The Past Kills. Ben Reilly has finally come face-to-face with the true villain behind his torment. And you're not going to believe who it is because you probably have never heard of him.
Yeah, for real.
Watch as a failure from Ben and Peter Spass comes to haunt the real-life Spider-Man. Talk to me, man. Favorite things about this issue?
Oh, well, Spider-Side to me is pretty ridiculous. But especially when he's like, okay, I know we're not doing panel by panel, but when he gets hit by the truck and he's got these like huge hands, like this giant, I don't know, Mr. Fantastic slash Venom thing.
It's almost like, why not just make it Sandman?
Right. Well, one thing I'll tell what I didn't like. I didn't like that his brother was like, I can be your friend. I could be your wife.
Yeah. He's like, I just want to help you have the best life possible.
Yeah, let me suck you off, big boy. It was like, whoa. Yeah,
that was really weird. And then, like, because he's kind of Venom-like as far as, like, the way his suit works. It's kind of like the symbiotes. He uses his body to form this knapsack around Ben Reilly and then throws him over his shoulder.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's a weird scene where he's like, Aunt May is dead. I can be Aunt May. I can be Gwen. It was weird.
Yeah. What really gets me is, you know, him being all these other Spider-Men or all these other spider sides. That, and we get to this point where he, like, spoiler alert, Spider-Side just like explodes, you know, which was kind of cool the way he did it. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. But then that's completely undone one page later.
Yeah, I thought that was so stupid. I was like, okay, so he learned. He's like, oh, no, I'm not. You know, Ben Reilly has compassion. We did learn that. Even though he's not funny, he has compassion. In the first issue, we learned that.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, he helps a villain out without just beating the shit out of him. And this one, he uses his compassion again. He's like, hey, man, we're brothers. We've all going through the same thing. We can work together. We can help each other. And then he's like, oh, no, you shouldn't be, you know, compassionate against me. I'm a monster. I realize what I am now. And he kills himself. But like you said, in the next page, there's a version like that. There's a scientist that comes in, or, you know, whatever, someone that works at Ravencroft comes in. Obviously evil. They do the evil panel where they show him do the evil look. And then you learn that it's Spider-Side. He's back. What?
Yeah, and the way they kind of explain it is he was like an offshoot, you know, because he can make all these sentient versions.
Yeah, it's kind of like Multiple Man. Which Multiple Man's an interesting character because he creates these other versions of himself and they can kind of go off and live their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I immediately thought of, like, oh, he has these sentient clones. But for it to be like, yeah, I'm evil. I remember all the stuff that just happened and how he, you know, came to terms with who he is, but fuck that.
Yeah, it was redemption for 5 seconds.
Yeah, I'm bad. And it's just like, man, that's kind of lame. Yeah. The book could have ended after the explosion.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like that.
But then we get Spider-Side releasing all the villains of Ravencroft. Very Spider-Man, or very Batman-like. I didn't realize all Spider-Man's villains were in one psychiatric ward, like Batman. I did not think that was a thing.
Well, especially ones like Matt Gargan, you know? Like, I feel like he should be on the raft.
Mysterio. Mysterio, I guess, makes sense. He's just a dude.
Who's this big guy with all the earrings?
With all the earrings?
Yeah, he's like the second page of the next issue, but you see him a little bit on the last page, I think, of the previous issue.
I don't know.
It's just a guy with glasses and a bunch of earrings.
They call him Loophole.
His name is...
All right, man.
Anti-Metal Detector.
Take it away with issue number 5.
Benny Reilly, Spider-Man, issue 5. Ben must take on the entire Ravencroft Institute for the Criminally Insane. But must he face them all alone, or will an unlikely ally step in? This is one finale you won't want to miss. I don't know. It's kind of
makes it seem like Peter Parker's going to show up.
Yeah, it's really, really trying to sell you on it.
What did you like about this issue? What didn't you like?
Well, some of this, you know, I always like to see classic villains, but it is funny to see ones like Mr. Hyde, you know, like some of these villains are pretty B tier, I think, but pretty cool nonetheless. But this is the guy I was talking about, this guy in the tank top. It's like Dom from his family.
Yeah, I don't know. He looks like a buff guy from Courage the Cowardly Dog. Dad, or the grandpa, whatever his name is.
Yeah, buff grandpa. Stupid dog. I will always like Mysterio, no matter how goofy he is.
Yeah, Mysterio's one of my favorite Spider-Man villains. Easily. Spider-Side changes his suit to be more of like a, you know, I'm different than the Spider-Side that killed himself. You know, I'm more like a Spider-Man than you. I don't know why he changed his suit.
It doesn't make any sense because you can be anything you want. You don't have to look like anything, you know?
Yeah. That design is one of the early concept designs of Ben Reilly's Spider-Man suit.
Bad.
So that's a cool nod.
It's a cool nod. It's also a bad design.
But it's also terrible. Yeah, there's also a reason why it didn't get picked, because it sucks. And again, he has these big, stupid cartoon fists. Like,
he's like Popeye.
I don't know. Spider-Side sucks. This issue was anticlimactic to me because it's like Vermin or whatever comes in to save the day. He's the hero that was coming to, you know, to help him out. And I'm not saying I was expecting Peter Parker, but like, what?
You know what's, anytime I see, and you see this later, where Matt Gargan is kind of kicking Spider-Man's ass, like you see his tail come down, like same with the PS4 game when Spider-Man's like, when he's on the raft, it's like, dude, no, you just got impaled. Like, that's not like, it's not like a needle.
Yeah. You're immortal, Spider-Man, at this point.
Yeah, that went through your body. It is kind of funny, all these they're nothing. They're just prisoners. Like, all these other insane people that are just beating up on him. Like,
yeah. I thought it was weird that Spider-Side changed himself to look like Ben Reilly. He did say he was a clone of Ben Reilly, which makes more sense that he's, like, the clone of a clone. And so that's why he's, like, demented.
Yeah.
Rather than being a clone of actual Peter Parker. I thought it was weird that he turned into a version of, like, he looked exactly like Ben Reilly.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's like, you don't have to have, and it looked like they were about to make out, too. It was like, you don't have to look like anything. But he keeps having these redemption arcs. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. This last issue was kind of a slog for me because I just didn't, after the big reveal of, or the, after the big redemption and him exploding, it just seemed like, I don't know. We wanted to have Spider-Man fight everybody that was left at Ravenclaw.
Yeah, we loved it so much, we're going to do it again. He's going to redeem himself again.
Yeah. Yeah, also he's not dead. He's in a hyperbolic time chamber.
He's training.
We'll use him later. And this, I got creepy vibes from the psychiatrist at the beginning, but her like longing touch of the window at the end, just like, what?
Well, she just really wants to have sex with Ben Reilly, and she thought, well, you know, I can kind of do it this way.
Yeah. We're going to electroshock him, make it work. I guess it's like, are they going to continue the story from the 90s? It was cool as a one-off thing, but like, I hate the setup of like everything has to be possibly another thing.
Yeah.
A cliffhanger on this. Like, it could have just ended, man. It could have did four issues and ended at the redemption thing. And then Ben learns, like, oh, maybe I should stop being a prick.
Yeah. I can be a nice guy.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's talk about it, man. Overall, What'd you think?
Be honest, man, I didn't really like it that much. But it's really mainly because of Ben Reilly. Like,
yeah, it was a very 90s book. And like most 90s books, they don't really translate as well to modern times as far as like level of writing. The art was good, in my opinion. I'm not a huge fan of the color of the book, the coloring style, but it works. Like, I don't hate it. It's just not my favorite.
I like most of the artwork, but it does, like I said, it just has that old school vibe. I say old school, it's like new school style, whatever.
Yeah, JNCO jeans.
Yeah.
Just call it what it is.
But
JNCO jeans grunge comic book art style.
Yeah, it was. This particular style was very popular in the 2000s, I think.
Yeah.
When I remember
If Ben Reilly would have been more quippy and a little bit lighthearted as Spider-Man, I think it would have gone a long way.
Oh, yeah, because it didn't feel like we were reading a Spider-Man book. That's the, like you said, it felt like we were reading The Arrow.
Yeah, it really did feel like The Arrow. We did talk about art briefly. Like, overall, I enjoyed the art. I thought it looked great. And Spider-Side was fucking such a weird character. I don't know, man. It doesn't deter me from... I still like Ben Reilly. It just seems like a weird entry into, like, if you're going to do a 90s story, which seems like they're really trying to harp on the 90s. In November, DC is doing, like, the... DC and Marvel are both doing these, like, 90 extreme homage covers, which have, like, all these different characters in the extreme 90s form with, like, pouches and bazookas and rockets on their shoulders. And DC is taking it even a step further by doing like gold foil covers. Like, they used to have these embossed gold silver covers, and they're doing a series of those in November. So I don't know what the deal is with, like, they're trying to really bring back the 90s, but if you read the 90s comics, they're not that great. I encourage people to just continue to love them in the nostalgia like sense, but don't go back and read them. As if you listen to the Thick Cut, our Patreon exclusive show, we're reading Nightfall, and it's not good.
Yeah. Until you get to a certain point, but it's
before terrible. Before we started, I was like, oh man, I love Nightfall. That's one of the legendary Batman stories. And then reading it, I'm like, barf. I'm going to throw up every time I have to read another issue.
Why did I like this? Why did I ever like this?
Yeah. What's grade this bad boy, man?
I don't know how to grade it.
Yeah, I'm interested.
If you're looking for our grading chart, you can get it from where? FAQ or the...
I was just about to say that.
FAQ from our Discord.
Do you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
I can go first, I guess.
I didn't hear what you said. Did you say I can go first?
I can go first. That's all right. Okay. It doesn't matter.
Go first. It chopped up on me.
Okay. I'm going to go A5. I don't know. I need some quips, man. That's the Spider-Man I like. I need some quips. He's true to himself in that he doesn't give up. You know, he's like Goku. He gets stronger at the end. But otherwise, yeah.
I'm going to give this one an F1 for the same reasons. Like, I knew this was a 90s Spider-Man story. I came into it reading it like it was a 90s Spider-Man story, but I didn't expect Ben Reilly to be so angsty. Every issue, I was sort of annoyed with how angsty he was. And I feel like it deterred, like, the rest of the book is just fine, and that aspect, like, lowers it a level for me. When, in turn, if he had some quippy moments, had some funny moments, it would have raised it a little bit, in my opinion.
Yeah. I can agree with that. Spider-Side,
dumbass character. I'm not a comic book writer or anything like that, but I think it would have been more interesting if it would have been a random, like, Hydro Man and Sandman combined together at some point. Like, they could do like a weird story. They could just, they could throw it in there. They threw a lot of stuff in there. And then because they combined together, they had this power to create these sentient beings. And then Spider-Man helps them separate.
Yeah, it could have been interesting. Also, they don't know, you know, they wouldn't know who they were or something like that. Like you see in this, yeah. Like, what is it like to be human? You know?
Yeah, that it creates a whole new character. Spider-Side was just random and he kind of sucked. His motivation sucked. Like, you could even have them, they kill themselves in issue 4, whatever, and that makes them separate. And then one of them, or even both of them, still hate Spider-Man. So then they free everybody in the last issue and they fight Spider-Man.
Yeah. It would have been interesting to see it more established, because I was like, who the hell? Did they make this up?
Like, and he looks so bad. He had a bad design back then and he had a bad design now. So,
yeah.
We gave our grades. I can't wait to hear what you guys think about it. It seems like we only dunk on Spider-Man books.
Yeah, we haven't picked like a really good one yet.
I think we'll review Spider-Verse before Across the Spider-Verse comes out. And I like that story, so.
Wait, what was it? What?
Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah. That's such a good...
Yeah, I think we'll read that one right before Across the Spider-Verse comes out. So, Sime, where can the people find you, my man?
You can find me, Sime on Toast on Instagram. Sime_on_toast. I've got another profile, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. I have a feeling.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to play the game.
The Game of Thrones.
You can find my website, SimonToyPortraits.com. Not a big deal if you don't go there. And then TikTok, I'm under Simon Toast. That's it.
Hell yeah. And you can find us Wednesday Pool everywhere else. As I mentioned earlier in this episode, we do have a new TikTok account. Like Simon, we're building it up. It's just clips of our show, and to sort of like bring people in that want to specifically listen to our show to get those download numbers up in 2023. So it's Wednesday Pool Clips. Hence the name. It's just
those DLs.
Yeah. So that's all we got, guys. We're circling the drain, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.